WTFR.
Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, just like every edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, is going to be very naughty. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed will contain bad language, condescension, mock value. Disclaimer. If you are a little pussy bitch, you may not want to listen to this show. Disclaimer over and out.
Welcome to Two's Company 3's Allowed with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the new world order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Two's Company 3's Allowed, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio, Camel Toe. I bet you weren't expecting that. Camel Toe. Mike was right. These people that are a little bit oversized, that wear skinny jeans, it just doesn't work. You know, I'm a thin person, I'm bantamweight. I can get away with wearing some skinny jeans, but I've got to be careful. But I saw this dude yesterday, Camel Toe, and I was like, holy crap, it was a dude. I felt like walking up and saying, dude, take those jeans off and go and wear something decent. Maybe put a dress on if you want Camel Toe going on. Like, what the hell? Absolutely disgusting. Anyway, this is brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, 107.9 FM in the Australian Victorian Alpines, and of course, 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York. And there's a bunch of hippies that like circulating the United States and enjoying themselves while they beam us out over the AMs and FMs. Thank you to all of you AM and FM affiliates. You are what help make us what we are today. Yeah, now, before I get to anything, I'm just going to let you know that there might be coughing fits going on because the smoke has upped itself again overnight and it's calmed down a little bit today. Hopefully it'll stay away. And I'm coughing up goop. So when that happens, I'm going to have to mute. And this goop is this thick, sticky, chemtrail type shit. It's disgusting. It's the most disgusting thing. I've got to continuously, when I cough this up, that's not something you want going down your throat. It's like sucking down a snail. Ugh. And I have to go to the toilet and spit it in there. It's gross. It's absolutely gross. This smoke, it's just got to fuck right off. You can hear someone sort of giggling in the background already. Be quiet. I haven't introduced you yet. Either that or he was yawning. One of the two, he's already bored. No, I want to throw out a quick shout out to Blackbird. Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club is the show that he does. And I play his shows in circulation on 107.9 FM and over the stream. Blackbird 9 is an excellent broadcaster. You can get on over to Spreaker.com and type in Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club, and he does a great broadcast. Check that out by all means. And a shout out to Hooli. Hooli's blog.blogspot.com. Now, Hooli is spelt W-H-O-O-L-I. W-H-O-O-L-I. I keep calling him Wooly because I look at that spelling, and that to me is like Wooly. So, you know, like a woolly sheep. Well, there we go. We've got a guest with us tonight. Let's see if you recognize his voice. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, yeah, I remember Wooly's blog. going back to Mammy Shit. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, Mammy Shit went downhill big time because of all their bullshit. So Wooly broke away from that and started his own blog. And he's him and I talk actually quite a bit there, actually, Mike, because what happens is he's got the same passion for muscle cars as what I do, and cars in general. And we get to talking sometimes and posting pictures over on his blog there, on his chat room there. Yeah, so what have you been up to, Mike? We've been missing you, mate. We've been missing your brother, because what happens is I know that you've had a bit of a hectic workload. What else have you been up to?
That's it. Working for the man. Working for the Jews.
Oh, the
working
fun.
For the corporate slave Oy Vey masters all week so I can pay the bills and live in Zog world is what I've been up to, Sean. That's pretty much it.
Isn't it? I remember when Lee Rogers and I used to talk, one of the things he would continuously say on his broadcast and even behind the scenes, like I did a lot of hiking with Lee Rogers. For those of you who don't know, Lee Rogers was not only one of the founders of Oracle Broadcasting, or one of the, I guess you could say, the leaders of it, he was also a host there, and he used to do Live Free or Die Radio, one of my favorite radio programs, by the way. And
yeah,
and he has to come across to Australia and work sometimes. So every time he comes here, we hike a different mountain together. And it was really a great time. And one of the things that Lee used to say, both on air and behind the scenes, is, "Hey, slaves, how you doing, slaves?" Because that's what we are. When we're working the 9-to-5 job, and he even admitted himself, he said, "I've got a 9-to-5 job as well. I'm a slave just as much as the rest of you." You know, until this system picks its act up, we're all going to remain slaves until we get rid of the... He didn't... Back then on Oracle, he didn't really speak specifically about the kike, but he did say that until we this system picks its act up, we're going to have to... be the slaves to the system. You're absolutely right. You know, these 9-to-5 jobs, as per se, they really, it really is. It's just slave driving.
Well, yeah, we're, I call it free range goys now. We are free range goys, Sean. We are.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're on the, Oy Vey plantation, free range goys. The cage is really fucking big. It's a really big fucking cage. We don't even, most of us don't know we're in the cage. You know, to those of us like you and I that are awake and listening to this broadcast right now, that we all understand that we are living in a big fucking Oy Vey Zog cage. But most people don't understand that. As long as they have their credit cards and their car and their fucking two-car garage and their little McMansion and all that kind of shit.
Their flashing lights and sound.
They think they're actually free.
Yeah. Huh? They're flashing lights and sound, you know, their new cell phone. I absolutely agree. You're like, they're watching the televisions. As long as they get to watch their Gaze of Our Lives and Home at a Gay and Pukra, I call Oprah Pukra, can't even stand to...
Pukra.
Ugh, she's gross. She's just disgusting. Yeah. Like, how the fuck did she end up with so much money?
And also, like, as Josh calls it, Facebook.
I call it Facebook.
They're on it all the time. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm not even on that shit. I hate social media.
I got kicked off. I got kicked off. Hey, you're going to love this, yeah. Mike, with the personality that you've got. You're going to love this, dude. I got kicked off for showing them my ass. What they did was they wrote to me and they said, you have to give us your real name. We don't think Sean Surplus is a real name because it's within our records that that's not a real registered name. I'm thinking, what the fuck is a registered name? So then all of a sudden I wrote back and I said, my real name is Sean Surplus. Of course it's not, but I didn't give a fuck. And who uses their real name? You know, you've got fucking gays out there that are calling themselves Boo Boo Kitty Fuck, and they don't have to answer to that. But us straight guys, we have to. So what happens is, they did it 4 times. They're fucking spooks. And the last time they said, you've got to send us, either, what was it? Scan your license, of which I've never had, by the way. But scan your license and then send it to us so that we know that your real name is Sean Surplus. So I took a photo of my buttocks, right? I bent right over. I didn't do it distastefully. I just sort of made sure that the ass cheeks could be shown. And I sent them in and I said, there's a photo of me. Now, do you recognize me now? I said, yes, I'm an asshole. And they permabanned me. I've never been back since, the bastards.
Well, let me tell you something, Sean. Let me tell you something, Sean. You remember MySpace back in the day?
Yeah, MySpace, yeah, yeah.
I was kicked off MySpace. I was kicked off Twitter. I was kicked off Facebook a couple times. I've been kicked off YouTube. I said, fuck it. I'm done with it all. I'm done with it all. You know?
Yeah.
I fucking hate these Jew social media sites.
I can't stand them.
And what I really
hate
more, yeah, is these fucking people that you see when you have to go to work or, you know, out in public. They're always on fucking Facebook, as Josh calls it, Fagbook, Facebook. They're always on it 24/7. And the Twitter thing really kills me. I'm taking a shit right now. I'm going to the supermarket. I'm buying. I don't give a fuck what you're doing. You know what? If I was a criminal, Twitter is great for criminals out there because you know when they're, you know, I'm on vacation for 2 weeks. I'm not going to be home. Yeah, yeah. I just bought a new flat screen. I got a Mercedes in the garage. We're not taking it. We're taking the SUV. Yeah, yeah. We're leaving it all. You know, great, great. Thanks a lot. I know where to go now to get all my shit.
You know, the one thing I really hate is when, especially the mothers, feel that they have to tell us everything their baby is doing new. Oh, my baby took its first step today. Oh, my baby wiped its own ass today. Oh, my baby did. And I'm like, who fucking cares? Who fucking cares what your baby's done? Just enjoy it yourself. Don't be telling the fucking world. Like, Jesus, it's like, it's that whole theory when you're driving down the street. I've seen it so many times, and I've been an asshole in this as well in the past, but I learned at least. Where you go on holiday, right, Mike, and you see, you're driving over past a cliff face, and you see this beautiful view. What do? You get out and you start taking photos of it instead of just standing there and sapping it up and lapping it up and just enjoying the view. And this is what these mothers and sometimes even fathers do. It's like, oh, my baby did this and that. I'm saying, well, don't put it on Twitter or fucking Fagbook or Fastbook, whatever you want to call it. Just fucking enjoy bringing up your children yourself, for fuck's sake. Go with the time you're spending on Fastbook and the time you're spending on Twitter and all of this other shit, you're missing out on your children. Like, fuck. It drives me fucking nuts. I just don't have time for it. Don't have time for this social bullshit media at all.
No, it's ridiculous. And it's like, I'm so sick of these pretentious soccer mom type chicks. You know, they're like, oh, you know, my son's got a soccer game on Saturday. And, you know what? The last time I went to a soccer game, I had a friend of mine that had a son that was playing soccer, one of these Christ Insanity Leagues, these church leagues, soccer, and I went. They don't even keep fucking score, okay? They don't even keep fucking score because it might upset the other team. I'm dead serious, dude.
Fucking hell.
This is fucking for real, dude. They don't even keep fucking score. They're like, well, we don't want to upset anybody. You know what my dad used to tell me?
You're the last winner. Hey, Mike, you could respect this from George Carlin before he passed. You're the last winner. These days, when one kid wins in a running race, they give all kids a medal. They don't just give the winner the medal. They give everyone a medal because you're the last winner.
Let me tell you what my dad's telling me. He's like, son, second place is first place for fucking losers.
Not wrong.
You know,
oh,
he'd say that and he'd punch me, he'd fucking hit me and go, what are you, half a fag or something?
Hey, when we get back, we're about to come up to the first break of the hour. Yeah. When we get back, I want to ask you a question, and I won't ask it now. I'll ask it when we get back because I think it's going to be an interesting answer either way, whether it be good or bad. But yeah, I'm going to ask you a certain question when it comes to your personal humor and why you are the stand-up comedian that you are. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Two's Company, Three's Allowed. Mike Sledge and Sean Surplus with you this evening. We hope you're enjoying the show. No stone unturned, leave your fears behind, and try to take the path less traveled by that first step.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
An old man by a seashore at the end of day gazes the horizon with sea winds in his face. Tempest tossed silent, seasons all the same. Anchorage painted and a ship without a name.
Woolly'sblog.blogspot.com. Get on over and check that out. A lot of great information. Woolly collects a lot of the different alternative show hosts' information and stuff like that. He also has some important posts that you can have a bit of a read and a few pictures here and there to take a look at. Woolly'sblog.blogspot.com.
We have reports of an outbreak of Argon flu in the sector. Would all visitors please report to the medic bay for inoculation?
But there ain't no vegetable on here. They don't serve vegetable at the restaurant. Mama always say, you gotta eat them vegetable. Collard green.
All right. Let me set this straight. Hold up. See that burger right there, the beef? That already got the vegetable inside. The cow eat that shit. He eats the vegetable. So it's included already. The vitamin and all that shit is in there. So eat that shit and shut up.
Choose Company 3's Allowed. With you tonight is Mike Sledge and Sean Surplus. We're talking at the moment. I've actually got a question for Mike. Mike, where did you get your oh-so-fantastic humour? Did it come from your dad with certain things that he said, or did you just develop it on your own?
Well, my dad had a lot to do with it, to be honest with you, Sean. Was a funny guy. He escaped to get into it here. He was devout anti-Semite and anti-communist, and he taught me everything I know. He was a white Russian from Belarus. He escaped the Stalinist purges. My family on my dad's side was saved by the SS. My granddad was an anti-communist activist against his side of the family, against the Bolshevik Revolution. He sided with the Tsar, and a lot of people in the Ukraine and Belarus sided and were actually part of SS units during that time. And they helped him escape the Stalinist communist purges, Jewish purges, if you will, and the Germans helped free my family. And And of course, my mom's side is actually of German heritage, so that's where I got it. And my granddad was funny as hell. He would watch TV. I remember when I was a kid, he would watch TV, and he would go. I'd be visiting him, you know, in New Jersey, and he would go, "Fucking jid," in like Russian, that means Jew.
Yeah.
And he watched the news all day and go, "Fucking jid." All I see is jid. and he would sit back and say things like, we need Hitler, where's Hitler at? Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, I was kind of raised that way. I was raised anti-communist, very anti-Zionist at a very early age, man, but they did it in a funny way, and that kind of got me going, man. So I would have to say that my father, it was a very dark sense of humor. You know, Russians are dark people, man, because for a long time it was a very dark existence they had over there. So it was very dark comedy. And I think that's where I got it from.
That's sort of like the Czechoslovakians as well. I've got some Czechoslovakian friends, and they're telling the similar story that you are, rather, but without the humor. I'm surprised I came out the other side with the humor that I have, because what happens is my biological mum, not my adoptive mum, she put me in a Catholic school early on, and I was brought up, you know, partially by the nuns and the priests and everything like that. We had to go to church every Monday at school and stuff like that. So I was being brain dirtied with all kinds of religion, and then you know, my life in itself was pretty dark earlier on. It was an interesting time, and I'm surprised I came out with a sense of, and also, you know, I mean, I was my pa, meaning my grandfather and grandmother, they were very serious people, especially my pa. He was quite menacing in the way he looked at life. In fact, he used to get into some really serious and dark debates with one of his sons, one of my uncles. So I'm not surprised I've even got the sense of humor. I think what happens is I have to shame the idea that YouTube was actually what got me into some humor, where I started watching certain clips and thinking, that's funny as hell right there. And then all of a sudden, my brain just changed and started going blah, blah. But this is before it was YouTube. This is before it was owned by Google. Literally, I started looking at clips and thinking, that's as funny as hell. Hey, I can do this. And then. Oh, it's interesting the way we're all brought up. This is why I wanted to ask you the question, is how we develop, yeah.
Well, Sean, I can tell you, it's kind of interesting things we have in common. I went to Catholic school as well when I was a kid.
You and I have got everything in common. It's fucking scary. Ladies and gentlemen, we were talking just the other day, and we're both the Pisces. We've got almost everything in life in common besides age. If I didn't know any better, I'd say we're twins with a 5-year gap.
I'll tell you, I went to Catholic school because I was raised actually Russian Orthodox. I was actually raised Russian Orthodox. I was christened in the Russian Orthodox Church. And then, of course, my mom's side was Presbyterian. But I went to Catholic school because it was kind of like the compromise. And I went to Catholic school from second grade till eighth grade. And then I went to another school in high school. But I was raised by the nuns and all that shit. Had to go to mass. And all that crap, and you know, I'm glad I went through it, though, in a way, because it really, you know, going to Catholic school made me realize that it was all bullshit, so I'm glad I went there. It really was a great education. I would highly recommend it.
It's literally
Catholic school. By the time they leave, they won't believe in Christ's insanity anymore.
it literally is the theory of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so when you go through this process and you come out the other side, and not many come out the other side, as I'm sure you've probably witnessed, is that not many come out the other side with a level head. If you can make it through that goop, about, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and all of this other shit, and you can come out the other side of that and say, you know what? I call bullshit. Then you know you've got an intelligent person in yourself. Then you know that you can do almost anything you want. If you want something, you're going to go out and get it because your mind is equipped to do so. And that's how absolutely. I look at it. I mean, now I've traveled different parts of the world, and people that were at school that used to call me a loser and used to say Sean will go nowhere because he's a fucking rebel. He doesn't turn up to school on time. He's out there having a cigarette. I don't smoke anymore, but I did back then. He's out there having a cigarette and he turns up to school late and the teachers are always on his back. He'll never go anywhere. But these are people that ended up with dead-end jobs that fucking have never left their shores. You know? And
let me tell you something, Sean. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm going to tell you something, man. I went to I see some of the people I went to high school with, you know, they never really drank or did any kind of crazy shit or rebelled against the system. And now I meet them and they're like 300 fucking pounds. You know, they look awful. They look stressed out. They look like they're fixing to die. Probably going to have a fucking stent or a heart surgery coming up soon. Yep. They're my age. I was voted. I should be dead by now, according to these people that I used to go to school with. I'm just like you. I was a rebel. I was an outcast. I used to hang out with the stoners and the people behind the gym smoking weed.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Them. And there was a couple fascists when I went to school as well that I used to hang out with, and I learned a lot of stuff. And but I got to say, the people that are on the straight and narrow that I knew back then, they look awful. They're fucking obese. And I got to say, people that meet me now say, goddamn, you're 48, but you look like you're 31. I feel pretty good.
Oh, dude. Guess what? Dude. You see, another thing we've got in common. I was just hanging out with a couple of friends of mine, Obi and Cam. And what happens is, Cam's brother, Cam is the female, that's, Obi's, we call him Obi, Obi's, missus. What happens is, her brother came out and said, to say g'day to me. And he said, looking at you, now that you're shaved, I would say that you're probably, what, 35? And I went, I said, dude, you're my new favorite friend. I said, I'm 44. And he was like, oh. He said, maybe I'm bad with age. I said, no, don't do that. Don't muddy these waters. if you say, yeah, I look 35, then I look 30 fucking five. it's not the first time either. I went to the Bottle-O. And this, oh, so beautiful girl says to me, she said, did you just, cause I was talking to one of the other girls that was working there that I commonly talk to. We'd have a quick chat when I go in to get my alcohol. And she says, did you just say you have kids? I went, yeah, I have a son and a daughter. And she said, I didn't know you were old enough to have kids. I went, oh my God. Yes. You know, I was just on the verge of saying, you come back to my place, please. Seriously. I was that close. I mean, I didn't, of course, because that would be indecent, but my God, I was close. Shit.
Yeah, but it's true, man. It's like, you know, all these people that said that we wouldn't do anything or we wouldn't amount to anything, you know, they look awful. And by the way, they're women that they marry. You know, a lot of them married these women who were like cheerleaders back in high school and this kind of shit. And, you know, oh, they look so pretty. You know, I went to a high school reunion not too long ago, and they looked like fucking pigs.
Yeah.
They were overweight, and their husbands, you know, looked, they were like, yeah, this is her. Like, oh, really? That's her. Yeah.
This is her. Yeah.
She used to be a cheerleader. She used to be a cheerleader in high school, and now she looks like Roseanne Barr on fucking steroids.
Oh, Christ.
What the fuck happened? What happened, man?
Oh, yeah. By the way, you're going to love the show that we did, filling in for you, Mike. We actually spoke about the Oso Hairy Bush Dykes. I won't give it away. You've got to listen to it for yourself. But you will laugh your ass off when you hear Josh and I talk about the Oso Hairy Bush Dykes.
I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, shit. We did you some justice. We kept the comedy going and we,
good.
We discussed important issues at the same time as we always do. But yeah, no, you're right. I've seen a lot of, I saw this bloke that I knew when, in high school, as you said, and he's this big obese piece of shit that used to criticize me. And here I am. I'm bantam weight. I've got good muscle mass for a bantam weight. And what happens is, he was up on a ladder cleaning out a gutter of a house. And I'm standing there and I thought, that can't be him. That can't be Michael. And I walked up and I go, is that you, Michael? And he looks down on the top ladder and he goes, yeah. Who are you? Yeah. He says, who are you? I said, Sean. And he goes, oh, how you going, Sean? I said, I'm good, mate. I've been to America. I'm going back very soon. I'm going to be heading Ireland and everything like that. And he goes, oh, and you can hear it in his voice as if he can't be the same loser Sean that used to drink alcohol and smoke some weed with friends and everything like that. And I looked at him and said, yeah, have a great day up there on that ladder, mate. I'll catch up with you soon, maybe. And walked off.
Yeah, I'm going to Ireland. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit, that break snuck up on us.
God damn it.
Yeah, this is going quick. This show's going quick. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. TCTA with Mike Sledge and Sean Surplus. We'll be back. Don't touch that dial. Kids playing war games in your yard. Everybody had to be a hero. Get one in the heart. From Jacko of Jacko's Lantern, quote, "The cycle of history. Good times make weak men. Weak men make hard times. Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times." Close quote. Let's make these times good again, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get rid of the tyranny. Let's get rid of the evil. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, if you feel the need to donate to TCTAUnleashed.com, by all means do so. It's not that I need the money to keep the network going, it costs me bugger all. But I need beer. So if you want to send me a beer, send me $5 or $10 here and there. Cheers. Enjoy the show.
We need to open our eyes. There's over 2 million illegal immigrants bedding down in this state tonight. This state spent $3 billion last year on services for those people who had no right to be here in the first place. $3 billion. $400 million just to lock up a bunch of illegal immigrant criminals who only got into this country because the fucking INS decided it's not worth the effort to screen for convicted felons. Who gives a shit? Our government doesn't give a shit. Our border policy is a joke. So is anybody surprised that south of the border they're laughing at us? Laughing at our laws?
Yeah.
Every night, thousands of these parasites stream across the border like some fucking pinata exploding. Don't laugh! There's nothing funny going on here.
TCTA with you is Mike Sledge and Sean Surplus. We're talking up a storm here about how when we were younger we were called losers, but yet a lot of the people that were in our schools were the actual losers. Now I've had people say to me, Mike, because I've discussed this in the past. I think it was probably a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. I've discussed this in the past. People wrote to me afterwards and said, "Oh, what? So you need to rub it in now, since they called you a loser and everything like that. You need to rub it in now. And they probably expected me to say, "Oh yeah, right, that's right, I shouldn't rub it in." No, fuck that. You're damn right I'm rubbing it in. Because a lot of these kids were the sons and daughters of yuppie fucks. And they still haven't learnt their lesson. They still see themselves as so fucking high up and mighty. Although they've never had some of the work that I've had in the past. Now, where I'm living at the present time, I'm a bit out of fashion because there's not a hell of a lot of work to be had, but I'm soon to move. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when I move, there will be a pause in the network for about possibly a week. So you're just going to have to bear with us on that one. But what happens, I'm moving soon where I know that I can get some good work, possibly even radio work, and it might even be classical radio work, so I don't have to do that whole mainstream media bullshit, just classical music radio that's going to pay well. So, you know, and here they are, they were giving me shit in school, but yet I've had better work, better paid work, better work in general to do than what they ever had. And I've travelled parts of the world. You know, this year I might even be going to Ireland if this gentleman that has promised to pay me to make him an amateur radio station. You know, I mean, seriously, Mike, these people, they called me the loser. And look where they ended up. Fucking, like you said, like they're 300 fucking pounds. And, you know, the gorgeous chick that I used to know in school commonly is just all of a sudden it's like blows it up into this as like a beluga fucking whale.
But you know, Sean, here's the whole deal. This is what, look, This has always been the case. The people that change the course of history are those that challenge the establishment and the mainstream.
Absolutely.
Okay? Those that go along with the program. And you know, let's just face it, in our lifetime, these people have been going along with the service-based economy and the fucking bullshit program now, really since, I would say the 70s was the creation of the consumerism, like we have today, and the service-based economy, and this new economic system, you know, the Jew economic system that we now live under, which is the service-based economy. It's totally based upon the marketplace. It's not based upon creation or creating something new or new resource. It's all based upon limited resource. You live in a world, you're told you live in a world of limited resources, and you have to conform to the world of limited resource. But we don't see it that way. I see the world as we live in a world of unlimited resource that we haven't tapped yet. Okay?
Yeah.
And to be confined to the Jew propaganda that you live in a world of finite resource or limited resource is the whole Hasbarat trap. It's the whole cage that they have you in. It's the jail. It's the mind prison that they have you in. Those that think outside of that system, outside of the cage, are the ones that can break through this whole propaganda matrix. And I have to say that I feel sorry for those that think that, you know, the way they have to live. And look, I'm doing it myself. I have a job. I have to make money. I have mouths I have to feed. I have people that depend on me. But I have to tell you something. You know, at least on the side, we are putting out information and knowledge that can break through, that can maybe awaken other people to break through this whole Jew propaganda service-based economy system. It really is slavery, but they don't see it. They think if they have this house, oh, I have a bigger box than you. I drive a more expensive car than you, even though it's a piece of shit. Let me tell you, the more expensive cars break down more than the cheap cars, and then you have to take the more expensive foreign cars to a specialist, and you waste more money on the kite shit. So
yeah,
it's bullshit.
It's all bullshit. It's as George Carlin again. George Carlin said before he passed. It's all bullshit, folks, and it's bad for you. You know, you take a look at the muscle cars. The muscle cars themselves are still going. The Beta video machines are still going. You can rebuild the engines of these things and everything, but these newer cars, once their engine is fucked, it's fucked. It's like seriously, it's you can't recondition it. You have to buy a total new fucking engine. But with the muscle cars, you can just buy certain parts to repair certain areas of that engine. It's just fucking amazing, like how, and you know, the fucking ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, they always make perfectly sure that their new DVD players and all of this will break down. They design them to break down so that you have to buy another one of their products 2 years later. You know, if you...
Yeah.
You know, you take a look at the video Beta machine, the Beta video machine that was first created in Germany. That thing will go for fucking ever. And because
let
they
me tell you something, man. Here's what I tell people, Sean. I have a copy of Mein Kampf on my dashboard next to a plastic Hitler in my 1972 Volkswagen. And I'm going to drive it to my house to watch Evil Dead on Betamax. Fuck you. Go to hell.
Fucking Evil Dead. That was the first fucking movie that actually scared me as a boy. My mother caught my brother watching it with one of his mates, and she said, "Get that off your screen. That's disgusting. That's awful." And he takes the tape out, and he gives it back to his mate. And then I got my hands on it. I put it in the Beta machine while Mum wasn't looking. And I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, oh my fucking God. Trees rape people. I was fucking mortified. But yeah, no.
Oh, that wasn't a tree. That was Al Gore. Trust me. Trees do rape people. Oh my God, I'm taking up the ass by a tree. Oh, no Vaseline. Oh,
it was the reverse greenie.
It was. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, speaking of movies, going back to the 90s, you know, I got kicked out of a showing. This is a true story, folks. I got kicked out. I was invited to a party. This was funny as shit. I was an extra on a movie set. I had like one speaking line. I was like another line away from my SAG card, Screen Actors Guild card. It was a movie with a, I was actually in a movie as an extra with Isaac Hayes, chef from South Park in Atlanta back in 1995. And I played a journalist. And, after the wrap, you know, after we shot the scenes and everything for the day,
yeah,
they had a party. Schindler's List came out and they invited me to see Schindler's List. And they kicked me out of the Schindler's List party because I was laughing. They said, you got to go. What's so funny? This is, movie's horrible. I said, this movie is funny as shit. This is the funniest movie. This is better than Caddyshack, motherfucker.
Because
this
it was
is the funniest
crap.
Movie I've ever seen. You got to go. You got to go. Well, can I take a couple more of these fucking jalapeno poppers, Quibi, while I go? Can I take them? I'm going to take them. How about that? Fuck them. Fuck them all. Yeah, I got kicked out of a Schindler's
List. Oh, was it kosher? Was it kosher, Mike? It better be kosher, otherwise you're going to be banned.
Well, they had Philadelphia cream cheese and the jalapeno popper, so I figured, you know, I saw where it was coming from. What? Is this like a fucking Mexican Jewry here watching fucking Schindler's List? What the fuck's going on? You know, and they kicked me out. They said, you got to go. Oh, God. They were all sitting there. Dude, they were sitting there crying. Watching Schindler's List. I'm sitting there going,
you know, it's funny. It's
fucking
funny.
Amazing.
It's funny. It's because for years now, I've always been saying, it's funny how Schindler's List is up there. You know, Spielberg's Schindler's List is up there. But then there's nothing to be. Basically, he made Schindler's List to explain the whole bullshit myth of the 6 million, right? And we all know why the 6 million, because Hitler got 6 million people back into the workforce when he came into power.
Yeah.
So they had to put a negative on the 6 million figure. So that's why they used the 6 million figure to say 6 million cakes died.
Well, Sean, that was in their mind the first reverse replacement, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, right.
Where he put white people to work.
you know,
and kicked them out.
Yeah.
So that was like their replacement. They didn't like. And now they're replacing us in retaliation.
Well, also, on top of all
now
this...
Now we say replacement.
Well, also, on top of all this, he does a movie on Schindler's List about a mythical 6 million. And let's pretend that the 6 million was real, just for argument's sake. He does this thing, mythical... let's say it's real. So what happens is he does this movie on the 6 million. What about up to 100 million? 100 million... white Christians that were killed during the Bolshevik Revolution under the hands of Leon Trotsky, a.k.a. Lev Davidovich Bronstein. What about doing a movie on that, Spielberg?
Well, there was one made, and it was called Harvest of Despair, by the way.
I've heard of
and
that.
And a lot of people...
I've heard of that.
Yeah. My dad actually had a copy of this, and then I actually had a copy of another book that was written in Russian that was banned by the Jews after the Bolshevik Revolution, that had the exact numbers of the dead at the hands of the Jews and in the Soviet Union at the time. And it was over 85 million people starved out or either executed, mostly Christian, all non-Jews. And, you know, by the way, I still have these books, by the way. They're all in Russian, but I still have the original books. They're in a warehouse space. And maybe one day I can read a little bit. I can speak a little, but I need somebody to translate them for me. That would be an interesting thing we could do on this network, I think, maybe one day.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, we might even be able to get a, like, for instance, when I had to study the series of books that makes up the Babylonian Talmud, I had to find a translate, and I found it online. So we might be able to find those books you're talking about online as a translate. Who knows? So by all means, give me the names of the books when we're behind the scenes.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, and I'll go hunting for them to see if there's a translate. Same with the Quran. When I was studying the Quran, and when Michael Vail was studying the Quran, we were studying the translate. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Two's Company, Three's Lab. We'll be right back. More to come.
I can't think of myself. Look, I must have a star on my door. I mean, it's still.
A door, a door, a door.
Swing doors, huh? Okay,
doors. How much fat could a fat fucking fatty fit? A fat fucking fatty could fit some fat in a fat fucking ghetto fatty and still fit some fat. Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't get into your car properly, or you can't even breathe properly because you're so fucking fat, or you fall off your bed and fall through the floor, you need to lose some weight. Otherwise, you're gonna fucking die. We need alive whites, not dead ones. If you'd like to call into Two's Company 3's Aloud, you can do so at 512-487-7226. That's 512-487-7226. If you're Australian, just put 00111 in front of that, and you'll be able to call in as well. And the American rates do not cost you as much as what you may think. Give us a call, by all means.
All support niggers! Look at niggers, they're trying to raise money, but they can't because they spend all their money. They're niggers!
The way it typically works in an asset market is the paper aristocracy can just target an asset market and they say, right, let's buy up stuff in that market. Then they issue loans, new money, to other people to buy stuff in that market and prices start going up, which draws people attention. And they want to buy stuff in that market because the prices are going up and a price bubble develops in that market. All right? But the paper aristocracy have the advantage because, first of all, they bought up while prices were low. The first people.
Yes, a little bit of rock guitar there by Spud, a gentleman that used to listen to the show. I'm a drummer, so. And I'm a pianist, and I'm partially a guitarist. I can do all sorts of things. I love music. Spud actually contacted me at one stage, Mike, and he said straight out, Sean, you're a musician. I've got a piece I'd like to send you. And I said, oh, yeah, no worries. And this is going back probably 6 years ago. And I said, that's a great piece. Can I use it as a bumper? And he said, yeah, and I've had it ever since. Love music. Everybody should love music. If they don't, they're a sourpuss. But, all right, so what happens, Mike, is I've got a couple of clips I want to play, a couple of audios I want to play, that one of them very humorous and the other quite serious. Both are from Josh. And I want to play them to include, and we can just basically after they finish, we can comment accordingly. Are you up for that?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Let it rip.
All right, mate. What I'll do is I'll put you on mute just while they're playing, and then when we come back, we'll discuss them. Actually, no, I won't put you on mute, because what I'm going to do is, with the serious one indeed, what I'm going to do is allow us to comment accordingly, so that way you can say, Sean, pause it there, because I want to talk about something. All right? So let's do that.
All right, folks, I'm in my vehicle right now, and I'm out and about, but I saw this pass through Telegram, and I've not yet to sit down and do a video about it, so I'm just going to talk about this. This is apparently an ad in Amosville, Virginia, and if you don't know where that is, Amosville, Virginia, looking at it on a map, it appears to be about an hour, maybe an hour and a half west of Washington, D.C., looks to be about maybe an hour and a half or two north of Charlottesville, an hour or two northwest of Richmond. So it's in eastern Virginia, where consequently, you know, that area, you know, especially in Richmond, a lot of people are getting pissed off. Because the governor out there is, you know, and these fucking admiralty fucking judges, they're wanting to violate people's law. So in Amisville, says here, seeking actors for ongoing live role-playing project. Current, paid, hostile environment awareness training, also known as HEAT. Location, Amisville, Virginia, near Warrington and Culpeper. Rate, $250 a day, $200 plus $50 for travel. So you get $200 a day plus $50 for travel. Additional travel and lodging not provided. Description, HEAT courses are designed to prepare NGO staff for operating in challenging international environments through in-person simulations. Actors take on varying roles, terrorists, IED victim, hostage, rescue team. Understand this, folks. Throughout each workshop, the course can be intense, both physically and mentally, but also very rewarding. It's very rewarding going to, con your fellow man into believing that some event happened so we can further push an agenda, goy. Let's go back. Let's see what else was posted on Telegram. So there's a YouTube channel, or YouTube video. I'm just going to read the description here. January 16th, this one was made. Call out for crisis actors in Virginia as governor declares state of emergency. And that's what the governor is doing.
Sean,
he's declaring
pause,
a state
pause.
Of emergency.
Go ahead.
Okay, right here. Governor Northam of Virginia just declared 2 days ago a state of emergency in Virginia for a pro-gun rally that is supposed to take place, I believe, during the weekend. And this is very important. This is the same administration and people that were in charge of the Charlottesville debacle.
Oh, there we go.
back in 2017.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is very important to understand because now the FBI has arrested, I think, a couple members of a group that's a so-called group called The Base that was said to be doing violent actions during this pro-gun rally in Virginia. Now, this is very important to understand for those listening. I'm a student of politics. I study political science. I had family in media in Washington, D.C. I spent my youth in Washington, D.C. during the summers. I know how this operation works. Let me tell you. The reason that Charlottesville was in took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the reason this is taking place in Virginia is because this is what we call the outer beltway of the inside the beltway, or the military-industrial complex or intelligence complex wing going into Arlington, Langley, Virginia, Charlottesville, not too far away. Virginia is basically spook territory for those involved in intelligence operations. So most likely what Josh is talking about, I believe that the Charlottesville event was staged. I mean, it had real people there, but I believe it was staged behind the scenes with real people around.
Well, that all started. The alt right. Dickie Spencer, and shit
National
like that.
National Policy Institute.
Yeah, I think he was a big part of it.
Headquartered, by the way, in Arlington, Virginia, Sean, throw from the Pentagon and the military industrial complex wing of this whole operation.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly concur. What happens is Dickie Spencer, I never trusted ever. He had a whole group of people around him that I never trusted. He invited like faggots and shit to his conferences, and then he was claiming that he's a white nationalist. And I'm thinking, you're not a white nationalist. A white nationalist would never accept a homosexual. Never. So he was doing all of, like, when he was friends with Milo Yiannopoulos. What was that other, Angelo Gage and all of these other shady characters.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and so what?
I know Angelo Gage real well. I actually met that guy on the roadshow. You know, he did all kinds of weird shit after that.
Yeah. But so what happens is, he was Like, he was everywhere. And then, you know, when this took place, I said to John Percent was on the network at the time, I said, this is bullshit. I said, they know that if they go out there and try and stop these people from bringing these statues down, and John Percent mm-hmm. was saying this exactly same thing. He had to do a broadcast from his car quite often because he has to work so much. But what happens is he even did a recording saying, hey, no matter what, they're still going to go and take the statues. You can protest as much as you want, but they're going to take the statues. But the moment you protest, what it's really about is that they're going to crack down harder on protests. Because Richard Spencer was playing the acting part, the crisis acting part, of the white nationalist, which he was not. There's nothing white nationalist about that prick at all. I would smash him on principle. Seriously, he was just out there to act like a white nationalist, so it makes all of us proper white nationalists look like bastards that would just go out and protest for almost nothing at all. Now, I'm not saying it's nothing when it comes to the statues. I'm saying it's nothing at all because it's a crisis acting, right?
Yeah, so yes.
Yeah,
yes,
and yes, then that allowed the military industrial complex to come out and put the hammer down and say, see, this is why we need to deal with white nationalists. When he's not even a white nationalist. There's nothing white nationalist about that little dick at all.
Well, let me say this. This is what they do. The whole purpose of Charlottesville was to entice real white nationalists to show their face.
Exactly.
So they could document people in public so they could out the movement in America, particularly the South where I live.
It even outed the movement here in Australia. It went worldwide. And John Percent and I predicted this. We saw what was developing. Dickie Spencer had already fucking put it out saying, we're going to be here at this time and we're going to be doing this. I'm thinking, oh, there we go. If you really wanted to protest properly, you just turn up and protest. Don't fucking warn the feds and everything that that's where you're going to be. Like, fuck.
And let me remind the people that Governor Northam, by the way, who's the governor of Virginia right now, who's an attaché to the intelligence services, you can't be governor of Virginia these days unless you're part of the Inside the Beltway Washington, D.C. intelligentsia. He actually got in trouble less than a year ago for wearing blackface. I don't know if you remember this. It was the big story. He was in blackface at a party, this kind of thing. But it doesn't matter for him. His lieutenant governor is a black guy that was accused of rape, who probably did it. But these are the guys. Northam, Mr. Blackface, I thought it was funny, but he went to a party as Coon Man. he's a Democrat. But listen, this is all CIA stage shit right here. This is all intelligence operations staged stuff here taking place. So they're all working in cahoots. Let me tell you something.
Oh, hold that thought. Hold that thought there, Mike. Yeah, we've come up on a break. In fact, we're heading into the top of the second hour already. Ladies and gentlemen, Juice Company 3 is loud. With you is Mike Sledge and myself, Sean Surplus. We will be right back after these short messages. .9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Absolute morality, the absolute morality that a religious person might profess would include what? Stoning people for adultery, death for apostasy, punishment for breaking the Sabbath. These are all things which are religiously based absolute moralities. I don't think I want an absolute morality. I think I want a morality that is thought out, reasoned, argued, discussed, and...
WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company Threes Aloud with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Yes, top of the second hour. Let me get my tongue untied. Top of the second hour, Two's Company Three's Aloud. With you, Mike Sledge and myself, Sean Surplus. What happens is, we've been talking about a great range of things. Before we get to that, though, this is brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, 107.9 FM, 1650 AM, Tonawanda / Buffalo, New York. And, of course, the bunch of hippies that just absolutely love us to death. Sometimes I'm afraid they love us too much, Mike.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll drop a hit of acid for them.
I spoke to one of their girlfriends. And right there in front of, I don't know whether they're husband or wife or they're just girlfriend and boyfriend, but I was sitting there talking. They said they've got me on speakerphone, and she was like, "I love your accent. You know, if we ever get to meet, can we have sex?" And I was like, "What the hell?" Her dude is sitting right there, and she's saying, "If we ever get to meet, can we have sex?" What? I said, I'm not into threesomes or anything. She said, "No, you don't need a threesome." I said, No. I said, "I appreciate that. I appreciate that you love my accent, but that's just a no. You've got to."
Sean, she got confused. Your show is Two's Company, Three's Allowed.
Oh shit! I never looked at it that way. But yeah.
Oh, God. Well, I just thought that three was allowed, so
they're characters, I tell you. They really are characters with some of the shit they come up. Apparently, they share. I think they're like that swear crowd, which I am not for, and they know that. I don't.
Oh, my God.
I do not do sharing or anything like that. And they know where I stand, but they still broadcast me out there, no problem. I said to her, "Look, you sound very cute." I said, "But I've never seen your face. And you've not seen mine, right?" She said, "No." And I said, "Well, there you go. You know, yeah, it's not."
Well, maybe you recognize the girl from the back of her head.
Yeah. Anyway, you had some thoughts that you wanted to continue.
Absolutely. And this is important stuff we're talking about, because what Josh was talking about is this staged state of emergency in Virginia. Once again, Virginia again. And for those listening that don't understand how this works, they always do these operations, these fake operations in either Virginia or Northern California around San Francisco, or they do them in like Texas is another hotbed.
Yeah.
Austin, Texas, hotbed. That's why Alex Jones is there, by the way. Austin, Texas, San Francisco, Virginia, and New York City.
Virginia, big time. I think Virginia is the real hotbed for all of that.
Well, yeah, because it's easy to stage an intelligence operation when you have the Pentagon, the military industrial complex right there, CIA in Langley, Virginia. You have all of the upper crust of Virginia politics is directly put into power by inside the Beltway crowd. Remember, Virginia used to be a conservative, I hate using that term, but a traditionalist state.
Yeah.
An, until the bureaucracy began to spread from Washington, D.C., into, which is Northern Virginia, basically, outward to the rest of the state. And let me remind people,
you know why that is, though?
The bureaucracy of Washington, D.C., Sean, is about 7 million employees.
Now,
okay?
Now you know why that is, by the way? Yeah. You know why Virginia went from traditional to the extreme bullshit that it is now? I'll tell you why. It's the same theory over here in Australia when it came to guns. We had a premier that actually said there will never be unified gun laws in Australia unless there is a massacre in Tasmania. And what happened? All of a sudden, the Mossad ran a massacre in Tasmania. It wasn't that lad. He did not do that at all. He didn't have the mentality to do it. He was scared of firearms and all sorts of things. He had nothing to do with that. This was a Mossad operation to run a massacre in Tasmania to get to be able to unify gun laws. Now, albeit that they took our guns at first, we are now allowed to have firearms. We can't call them weapons because, remember, there's no excuse for self-defense with a firearm in Australia. So even though we got, there's now licenses you can get to have firearms, it's still now unified gun laws, meaning you can't use firearms as a weapon. It's the same thing in Virginia. They knew that Virginia was one of the most open and easy states in America. So what they had to do is they had to create something extreme to stop it from happening. It's same theory.
Yeah. And it's easy when you're in their theater of operations, because Virginia, the whole state of Northern, well, especially Northern Virginia, is the theater of operations for intelligence operations to occur. It's a fact. It's a fact. Okay. So what we have here is when we had the Charlottesville debacle, we had McAuliffe in charge, Terry McAuliffe, who was the chief of staff for Bill Clinton, who later became the governor of Virginia, who was behind the whole Charlottesville incident. Now we have Governor Northam, who's also connected to intelligence services, behind this new state of emergency for the base gun rally in Virginia as well. This is all staged to make us look bad. It is all fake. It is fucking gay as shit. And they're going to continue to do these things.
Yeah. But yeah, it's become a thematic stage, for different states, different countries, all of that. You know, this whole gun deal over here was thematic. It's thematic in Virginia, Washington, D.C., especially. You know, like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, but the fact that he's already declared a state of, and by the way, this group, The Base, was big on alt-right platforms like a year ago. They interviewed guys from this so-called group, The Base, on alt-right, alt-kike platforms like a year ago. They made the rounds. So this is a known group. Again, the alt-right, alt-kike connected to Charlottesville. Dickie Spencer, National Policy Institute, located in Arlington, Virginia, right down the stone's throw from the military-industrial complex. Gottfried, the guy that founded the alt-kike, the so-called alt-right, his name was Gottfried, a Jew who's connected to military intelligence as well, who founded that whole operation. Then you also have Dickie Spencer, Richard Spencer, connected to National Policy Institute in Arlington, Virginia, connected to Dugin in Russia,
connected
new Bolshevik Party.
Connected to the that Jew fag Milo Yiannopoulos, and also he even invited Rush V, that condoned rape as long as it was in the household. One of his conferences. These people, Angelo John Gage, they were all fucking interconnected. And it's funny that Angelo John Gage would always have this military fucking uniform up in the back of, on his wall when he was doing his broadcasts and everything, which stunk to the high heavens of bullshit to me.
And by the way, Sean, let me just respond to this in the chat real quick. Jacko was right. Epic KWJ, the base, does that translate to Al-Qaeda? Absolutely. Al-Qaeda was Arabic for the base. And this is a white, alleged white nationalist group called the base. So here we see once again the original connection of the war on terror to eventually where they wanted to go in the first place was to connect it to so-called white nationalism. This is all done on purpose, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
All done on purpose. All being perpetrated by the National Policy Institute, by the alt-kike, by the alt-right, to make us all look bad. These are feds, most likely CIA, NSA, and SPLC controlled agent provocateurs running this whole operation.
I think even the NAACP had something to do with it as well, because yeah. They're doing everything they possibly can to bring down white Western civilization. And given that the NAACP is, you know, it's a pro-black establishment, they'll ally with anybody they possibly can, including the SPLC and all of those, like the feds, just to bring down white Western civilization. And isn't it quaint that they came over to, like, blacks a lot of the time come over to Australia and to America and to England and all of those to get a better way of life, but then they want to bring that better way of life down. It makes no fucking sense except for the fact that they want to bring white Western civilization down, even if it dirties their waters. They don't care.
But, Sean, the main thing we're talking about here is the most important thing. This is very important what we're talking about in this broadcast, because what we are saying is that this base group, this fake white nationalist base group, and the state of emergency being declared is, we are on the cutting edge here in this broadcast, because we are predicting, you know, this was a setup from the very beginning. And those that understand the intelligence services behind the alt-kike, the so-called alt-right, will understand what's going on here. This is an intelligence operation to get information on who are the whole purpose of Charlottesville was to get faces, face recognition technology, to get people who were real
that,
out in
that
the
was
open,
part of it, Mike. That was part of it. But that was only one part of it. There's two parts to this. It was to get faces recognized that of those that were in the white nationalists. It was sort of like the Hal Turner deal, where he was harvesting all of the names of the white nationalists and the Nazis and the neo-Nazis and all that. But there's another part to this. It was also just to bring white nationalists a bad name. We do not necessarily go out of our way for violence unless violence is brought upon us. But the Dickie Spencer and that made it look like, and they knew that the mainstream media would make it look like it was going to, it's all violent and everything like that. I'm just going to kill the brakes. I'm going to kill the brakes, because what happens is we're going to need a bit more time to talk, because we're still going to finish this clip of Josh's. But happens is it literally, it was those two parts. One, to get facial recognition of who these white nationalists are, the Hal Turner deal. And then there's the side of it where they just wanted to make white nationalists look bad. So when you're walking down the street now and someone says, oh, you're all, once upon a time they might have said, oh, you're a white nationalist, let me get your viewpoint. But now they're like, you're a white nationalist, you're one of those Dickie Spencers that started all that trouble in Charlottesville, and the media told us that you just wanted to go down there and murder people. And that's there's two parts to this whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But I will tell you this, they did a great job, but I do believe the main point was to make it look like, remember, this was on the heels of the 2016 Trump campaign.
That's right.
When all the alt-right came out, and Trump actually retweeted some of the alt-right tweets, okay? He did this, okay? He gave them credibility. They had the ball, you remember this? The Trump ball, or whatever it was called, the alt-right ball. We had Dickie Spencer speaking. We had all this kind of stuff sponsored by the National Policy Institute, all happening in Washington, D.C. They created this fake legitimacy that white nationalism was all of a sudden a legitimate viewpoint that you could now come out in the open. Okay, they created this comfortable environment. And this is what intelligence services do. They create a false security so you can come out of the woodwork.
It's like
the real deal. Yes.
It's like the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, they get a reaction, and then they create the solution, as if to say, well, now we've rounded you up.
Right. Right. And then you come out, and then they turn on you. And the whole thing becomes a debacle and a fucking disaster. And then you're out there in the open and you have no friends. You have no support. You have no legal place to go. You are hanging out in the wind. And you are now a joke. And you are being attacked. You lose your job. You become doxxed. Your whole world falls apart. This is what they planned from the very beginning. It was an ingenious intelligence snare.
Yeah,
that they created.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. I want to play more of this interview, clip, with Josh, because we've got more. Like you and I, we just hear trigger words, and we can talk for hours on that alone. So what I want to do is I want to continue this clip so we can get through it. Where the hell is that button? There it is.
January 16th, this is when it was made, call out for crisis actors in Virginia as governor declares state of emergency. And that's what the governor is doing. He's declaring a state of emergency, you know, because the peon masses are getting...
And remember, tell me to pause any time, Mike.
Pissed off.
Yes, yeah.
So he, the corporate swine, Ralph Northam, has to call a state of emergency. I'm not going to play the video because it just wasn't. Never mind. Anyway. Wow. Wow. So, the governor... Let me turn my heat down. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sure you're hearing that. The governor declares a state of emergency, and all of a sudden, they just so happen to need crisis actors. And let's reread what that...
We've got a caller. Caller, is that you, set free?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, how you doing, sir?
Good morning. Hey, brother, I just woke up, man.
Oh, you did?
I've been on this for hours, and I'll say one thing. It's a setup.
Yeah.
I wouldn't advise anybody to go. There's going to be more damn snipers on the roof. You know, it's... I'll tell you what, I'm one person up against about 100,000 in my area, and I can't get any help from anybody. You know, I've lost constitutional rights, nobody. I can't get medical records. I can't get shit done. And I've contacted congressmen, senators, all these wannabe, I don't know what you call them, white nationalists, all these various groups. Nobody's interested in constitutional rights or protecting us from any evils out there. None of them. Alt-right or the claim they support white people or the Constitution. No attorneys, no medical boards, nobody in Washington, D.C. Goddamn President Trumpster up there. You know, the VA... This is a funnel trap. Ask Mike if he remembers the old trucker convoy that they started years back.
Yes, I do. I remember that was back
to that.
Yep.
That was another setup, and there's too many people. You know why they call it OPSEC, Operation Security. They had more assholes out there telling the exact moves, what was going on. They funneled half the convoy away from the D.C. area.
Yeah, that they was back more... in what, set free, like 98, 99, 2000, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. I went down the local overpass, and all I could see was line. From one end to the other, semi-trucks, buses, you know, all these so-called patriots lined up. And they probably know who all of them were.
Yep.
They bottlenecked them poor suckers. There was more people out there to create havoc than...
And the funny thing about that was set free. The funny thing about that set free was, you know, they bottlenecked all the truckers back then, and they already had the cameras all over the roads. Washington, D.C., if you never traveled on the roads in Washington, D.C., you can't go 2 feet without another camera pointing down on the highway. And they bottlenecked all these truckers, and they had all the cameras pointing down on them, clogged up for hours. It was all set up. It was all set up. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and it was a dime. I'm glad it could have turned into a bloodbath.
Yep, yep.
But that was the same scenario, and these assholes around town here that I was talking to, they thought the whole deal was funny. And it's the same setup here. They have all these school shooter trainings and all this stuff. Y'all see them monkeys. They don't care about people's rights or our Second Amendment, First Amendment, freedom of religion. They don't care.
Nope.
You know, they just want control and that's it. But they're giving people like me hell. I'm saying, hey, man, peace out. Don't get involved.
Yeah, the best thing you could do is to stay low, not show your face, keep your mouth shut. When the time comes, you'll know when it's real. It's not real now. This is a fake ruse. This is a snare.
That's what I said. That's what I said about Charlottesville. Both John Percent and I both said back in the day when Charlottesville was happening, I said straight out, this is not the time to become physical. You will know the time it will slap you in the face and it will be forced on you. I said, but this is not the time. And you could tell it wasn't the time. The waters were rippling, but they weren't waving. They weren't waking. And I said, this is bullshit. They're doing this to deliberately come down and fuck up white nationalism. And by God, that's what it did. So, no, but we'll know it. When the push comes to shove, the proverbial shit, as I always like to say, the proverbial shit comes home to roost on the proverbial fan. That's when we'll know it. It will slap us in the face so hard that we'll go, right, we have to go now. And I know this Absolutely. Because I'm speaking to a lot of not neo-Nazis, but political Nazis. I go to meetings that include white nationalists. These are intelligent men that wear suits and ties. These are people that have been educated. And as we were discussing earlier, Mike, Set Free, you'd be interested in hearing this as well, where your dad sort of educated you when it comes to communism and Marxism and all of that. These guys have been not just educated academically, they've also been educated in the against the communist and the Marxist and everything like that. And these are upstanding gentlemen that will look you right in the eye as a real man and say, are you really ready for this fight? Because when we say go, you go. And I'm like, yes. These are the people that we need to be dealing with, hanging out with, spending time with. And no, seriously, the government thinks it's so intelligent. Yeah, you wait until you meet these motherfuckers and what they've got planned. We're happy to let people know that we've got plans.
They have not met us. They have not, Sean. They have not met us yet. They have only met their fake stooges they have created pretending in their cosplay of fake crisis actor, fake news stories. That's all they've seen. They have not seen the real power.
They think they understand politics. If they want to know real politics,
they don't understand anything.
No, they don't. They don't. And when push comes to shove, they're going to see something. They're going to see a monster that they created of the likes they have never seen. Seriously.
Well, Sean, let me say this. I know people, as I said before, I had connections inside Washington, that kind of thing. These people inside the Beltway are out of touch with grassroots America, with the real what's really going on in grassroots America.
Yeah,
I remember talking to a person I know who worked for a news agency in Washington D.C. back in like 2001, 2002, and I told him, I said, "Dude, you know, this is what's going to come start coming about. It's going to get more radicalized, more toward the right, more toward white
they're
nationalists.
They're actually, you know, he what they're actually doing. You know what they're
Guess
actually
what?
Doing.
Now he does not laugh at me, Sean.
Yeah.
He said you were right. You were right.
Yeah. They're actually, you know what they're actually doing? Unknowingly, they're actually training us. And I'll tell you why I say that. And Set Free, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. They're actually training us.
Okay.
They're pushing us into a corner over and over and over fucking again, which pushes us into a situation as where, okay, I have to learn how to outwit these people. They've pushed us into a corner, so we go out of our way to learn how to outwit and outmaneuver these motherfuckers. And so in some way, shape, or form, they're actually training us. They're actually saying, right, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't say this, you can't say that. So we're going, all right, now I'm going to have to learn how to outwit these motherfuckers. And you go out of your way to learn how to outwit these motherfuckers. Then you meet up with these political Nazis and these political white nationalists that are more intelligent than any politician on the face of the planet. And they're teaching you. So in some way, they are pushing us into training. So I always look at it this way. I always look at it this way. I always say, straight out, I say, thank you. You've helped train me. Thank you very much, you so-called fucking parentheses, political fucking idiot. You've just actually pushed me into a corner where I will now learn to outwit you. And by God, you will be fucked when the day of reckoning comes. Set Free, I want to hear your thoughts on this.
See, that's true. See, that's people have me, like me. Okay, I'm outnumbered massively. They could come in, wipe me out, kill me, and nobody would know any better than anything about it. Now, I've had to resort to wearing a body cam when I'm out using a dash cam. We can't record in the police station, can't record in the courthouse, courtrooms. I was in a small claims court years ago. They called me. This is our due process in my state. They called me out of the court, called me into the judge's chamber. There was other people standing around. Star David, Freemason crap, all this. I was meant to take one guy to the small claims court over rental issues and theft. Had my witnesses. Judge sat in there, said I did a good job on the paperwork, wording, bringing my witnesses in. And he said, oh, by the way, case dismissed. He said, there's three people in this town and state you don't mess with. Jewish people, Freemasons, and the more predominant, meaning the millionaires and billionaires. And you know the Supreme Court of Indiana, this more than once this has happened with professional misconduct, even with catching my own attorney with my ex-wife, said that is not professional misconduct, and I had to prove it. That's how bad this state's wrapped up.
Mm. Hey, Set Free, is there some way we can set up some sort of fund for you so that you can get out of that town and relocate? I mean, I'm happy to do that. I would rather see you get out of that area. If there's some way I can send you the funds when somebody donates to you, is there some way, unless we can find a way that they can donate to you directly, so that you can get the hell out of Dodge? You know, like get into a better area, like even end up in Mike's area where George's. More of a town you'd rather live than where you are. Is there some way we can do that?
Hell, that'd be the trouble. I know my enemies here. You know, I know what to watch out for. I'm set up for security and stuff, but I don't know. You know, I've checked into it before, but the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Mm.
You know, if you know what I'm talking about, I don't. They won't let me sell my property. They think that's a big joke. They say, well, if you don't like living in a communist college town or a Marxist state, you know, run by you-know-who, you know, move. And then they say, well, you can't move. We're not going to let you sell your property.
Right.
Zoning restrictions and all this.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're between a
rock
and a hard... So
either way, they trap you.
Yeah, I was just about to say...
These goon dicks get out here and say, oh, hoorah, we're going to get our Second Amendment and keep... Wrong. They're doing the same thing in Indiana, We've lost our freedom of speech here already. We have no representation. I don't. You know, other people do.
I was just about to say that, that you're between a rock and a hard place. In the meantime, by the way, talking about donations, you know, I scrolled back through the chat room. I like to check the chat room to make sure there's no a-holes coming across from the other network and stuff like that and posting stuff they shouldn't be. And I saw one of your posts, which was you said, I will pay for the phone lines. No, you've already paid generous donations to this network, so I ended up paying it. I'm not trying to insult you, but I refuse for you to pay for the phone lines because you've already paid for them. So it's all good.
Well, see, here's another reason why I'm not a radio person or talk. When I talk, I had a dentist outfit for VA, who are killers, break and shatter my jaw, pulling the tooth. You know, I could not get x-rays from a dentist or an oral surgeon to take care of that, to show VA misconduct and a bunch of foreigners over harming vets. They get away with whatever they want in this state.
Mm.
That's how bad it is here. And people think it's a joke. They think I'm a conspiracy theorist.
I just want to find. I just want to find a way to make some money for you, so that you can get out of that state and move. Like seriously, look, you know, I have it bad in some ways in where I am, as you know. But you have it really, really bad, where they're not looking after you. You know, especially being a veteran. I would want you to get out of that state and move to another state. Maybe look,
veteran groups are even a bunch of pussies here. I don't care who they are, bikers, combat bikers. I'm not a combat vet, but I think they're all pussies if they're going to stand by and say, "Well, no vet left behind. We take care of all veterans or all American." No, they don't. Mm. They're damn liars, and I've contacted all of them.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. There's no doubt about it. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts is that we keep our powder dry and stay underneath the... I am not one to call out for people to come out in public. A lot of people do this. They say, show your face, come out. I don't believe that. Now, I have shown mine, and that's okay. But as far as everybody else is concerned, you're better off remaining silent, not talking to anybody, and being prepared when the time comes.
Just talk to your friends and family. Yeah. That's what I say.
Yes, like, yes. Yeah,
just talk to your friends and family, your close friends and family, and say, because all of my close friends, you know, me being a misanthrope, all of my close friends and my part of my family, not all, know what I think and share your thoughts there and leave it behind until the proverbial shit hits the proverbial fan. Yeah, I agree, Mike. Yeah.
Well, see, they pushed me out public. I'm not going to stand for the shit. We're supposed to be Americans. So if I've got to go out, I've got a big sign in my truck. Every time I go out, that sign can be read. I'm having other ones made up. You know, I can't be Jew specific and... You know, all these, I don't even know who all these goofy college groups Antifa are anymore. They don't need them in my area. You know, they got the pussy hats and the vagina costumes, but they got the judges, they got the attorneys, they got the veterans group, they got the media. Well,
they got the Jews.
All my, all you got to do is mention here.
That's all the judges, attorneys, all the Jews in your area. That's who they are.
That's why you can hit them just with over censorship and corruption. Now, if it's 100% corrupt, they push you until you got to say something, you know, regardless of anybody else is going to help you. I ain't going to stand for the shit.
No.
Oh, by the way, Sean, I like to say that Jacko has a great point in the chat. As much as people like to shit on Siege, it does have some wisdom. It absolutely does. I totally agree with that. Let me tell you,
everything has a bit of wisdom to it. Like even when you look at the Babylonian Talmud, as much as it is mud, right? It's just shit.
Yeah.
There's still shit in it that you can learn from. So when people say to me, oh, that has no wisdom or that has no intelligence or anything like that, I call bullshit. Every book I've ever read, even the ones I hate the most, like the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, I've learned something from it that has created a wisdom in me that is able to fight this fight. So, no, of course, yeah, Jacko's absolutely right. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know, we have to be able to look at new information and deduce and break down what and take from it what we can that we can use for our side instead of being knee-jerk and saying, oh, I don't like this, I hate this, I'm going to disregard this. No. We as Aryan people need to be able to break down information and take from everything. We should read everything. You know, even our enemies, we especially should read what our enemies say.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Because right now we're getting our ass kicked. Okay?
Yeah.
And we need to read and deduce and break down and take the knowledge that we need and employ it for our side, for our side.
Absolutely.
To defeat the enemy.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. We do. We need to take the positivity and the negativity and turn it into ammunition. That's what we need to do. That's what we're doing here. Yep. Listen, lads, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on mute just for a moment and continue this clip, because otherwise we're not going to get through the entire clip. We're running out of time. Yep. And you're welcome to stay, by the way, Set Free.
Okay.
And what we'll do is we'll comment after we've played the clip, because we're literally running out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this clip that Josh done. Right now, let me back it up just a little so people get the gist of where it was leaving off. And we will comment after the clip.
Sorry, guys. I'm sure you're hearing that. The governor declares a state of emergency, and all of a sudden, they just so happen to need crisis actors. And let's reread what that ad says here. Varying roles. The roles include terrorist, IED victim. You know, like in Boston, hostage, or rescue team. See, the crisis actors aren't always necessarily the ones that the media interviews. They could also be the ones doing the attack, the fake attack, the false attack. Has anybody seen these crisis actor drills that they put on the internet? They look real. You wouldn't know that they were fake. So that's why we question a supposed real event. And hell, the supposed real event looks faker than the faked event. So we know they like to do shit over the weekend. And things are heating up. Now, my opinion says that the people are justified in rounding the governor up and the cabinet and the judges and all these peons that push anything that goes against our Bill of Rights. We the people have the authority to charge these cocksuckers, arrest them, and charge them with treason and hang them in the public square. We have the authority to shoot their asses out of office. That being said, nobody is really willing to do that. Despite the justification, people are willing to go the more peaceful and, shall I use the term, diplomatic route. But they're going to push bloodshed. They're going to push an event. Mark my words. And it's going to further push their fucking gun agenda. And everybody, especially those that, well, we support DNRA, they'll be the first ones to cuck out. Well, let me tell you something. I don't care what kind of fucking false flag you throw our way, I am not going to stand down. I'm not going to bow down to your fucking fake authority. You have none. I don't care what crisis actors you throw in front of me. I spit on them. I see it coming a mile away.
So spread the word, folks. Do not let this pass by. If something happens between now, which is Friday, January 17th, at 8 o'clock p.m., or just before 8 o'clock right now, 7:57 my time, if something happens between now and the rest of the week even, doesn't matter. You remember what I read, and you remember what others have posted on Telegram and elsewhere on social networking. Hostile environment awareness training. Heat. They're going to have people play all sides. You're going to have people play the terrorist. You're going to have people play the hostage negotiator and the rescue team and the SWAT and the IED victim. You're going to have people shed fake tears and laugh while they're giving their interviews to corporate media. Mark my words. Mark my fucking words. Keep your eyes and ears open, folks. Stay vigilant. Peace out.
And there we go, ladies and gentlemen. That was a clip done by Josh. A great clip indeed. Now, as he said, he's not sure of the validity when it comes to that article. So keep your eyes out on whether that is valid or not. In the meantime, though, if that is valid, that's, you know, that's right in your face. And these days, Mike and Set, these days, they don't care to, if they put it in your face. They now freely admit that you know, HAARP can control the weather and that it can x-ray the earth. They now freely admit that, you know, they're using racism as a weapon. All of this shit is now in our face. So it wouldn't surprise me if this article is valid.
Oh, yeah, they played everybody. You know, we go out here, we got to deal with the feminists. We got to deal with the Mexicans and all their groups and the NAACP and ACLU. You know, but the problem is they get your, you know, like here, if they've already got total control of the media, you're screwed. You lose communications, you're totally screwed.
Well, I would say this, too.
They make people afraid of you, you know, you're screwed. And this ain't my first battle with them. I've tried to save lives around here. I was safety and health chairman for a major union here. I know where all the cancer came from or was causing it. Who's the top of dogs of the company? Billionaire Jews. You know, the Indianapolis 500, their family owned that. I was told I was a piss in on an elephant because the blue-collar worker tried to take them on plus seven. Oh, it was more than that. National Labor Relations Board, OSHA, name it. What happened? A Jewish attorney lost my federal court brief with all my tapes and evidence and stuff moving into a new office. The only one that had his entire brief lost. That's how it works here. That was back in the 70s.
You know what's going to happen, Set Free? What's going to happen is when I do finally get to the States, Mike and I, at my cost, will travel to your neck of the woods, and we're going to get you out for a good time. We're going to get you out to hang out with us. We're going to drink some beers. We're going to talk up a storm. We're going to record everything we do audio-wise. Seriously, you do sound like you need some R&R from all this shit, and rightfully so. We will go out of our way. I don't know when that's going to happen. I hope it happens soon, but I've got so much going on in life, and as anybody knows, it's not easy to do such a thing. But the thing is, next time I'm there, as long as you're still around, we're going to get out there and we're going to drink some beers. We're going to have a good time, I'm telling you right now.
Well, that's why it's been my major point. You know, I'm in a rut. You know, I'm old. I don't give a shit. You know? And if I can help other people, younger people, try to wake up and see who their damn enemies are, you know, we don't have, we can go to the last KKK meeting we had here. It was way back. It used to be held on White's Farm. You should have seen all the college kids and the cops and people out there harassing us to just get in the lane and get down there on this guy's farm. And that was the last one they ever had.
Yeah. Yeah.
and it wasn't a hanging kind of, you know, white sheet wearing kind of thing. It was more like a political action,
right.
White group getting together.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and look, see, the KKK have been demonized themselves because the KKK was one thing at one stage, and then all of a sudden it become this demonized thing later, and that's why they always use that against David Duke. Now, David Duke...
Set free.
Sorry?
Yeah. Set free. I am familiar with this because I'm a part of this and a part of this thing, and... let's get back to the real Ku Klux Klan of Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, and it was later demonized and taken over by the ADL when they came out with Birth of a Nation, and they bastardized the true meaning of the Ku Klux Klan, which is under Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, which was the true organization. And then the Jews came in under the ADL, and they created a new clan that was an imposter clan to discredit the original one. You know what I'm talking about. And this is how they always do it. They infiltrate. They just like they did to our side. We talk about the alt-right, the alt-kike. It's the same thing. They infiltrate the original grassroots and then take it in their direction where it never was. Let me say this. Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, by the way, there were black members of the Klan, of the original Ku Klux Klan, protecting, who were Confederate soldiers, who protected their families against Lincoln's communist brigades coming into the South during Reconstruction. A lot of people don't know this history. This is real history.
That's it. It's the same as what we were talking about earlier. Where they infiltrate white nationalism like Dickie Spencer did.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah. It's total bullshit. But anyway.
Yeah, I was a teenager working up in Chicago. I was working next door to black car sales guys. Got to meet one, Crazy Frank. He's a pretty cool old dude. He made me an honorary member of the Black Society of the KKK.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he said, there is such a thing. He said, hey. I said, well, hell, my grandpa, KKK White Hats, or whoever they called them up here, made him close down his still and quit selling alcohol to young kids in his town.
Hey, lads, we're 47 past the hour. So what? 47:30 past the hour. So what happens is I've got one more clip that I've got to play. I think yous will enjoy this one. This was also done by Josh, and I thought this was really fantastic. I want to get this done before the show finishes. So I'm just going to place you on mute for a quick 3 minutes. 3 minutes and 1 second, in fact. And then I'll bring yous back in.
Okay.
This is a nice restaurant, eh, Mary? Not like those chink buffets that we normally go to on the Goy's holidays. Yeah, I just hope they got gluten-free. Last time I was in the bathroom for 2 hours with a roll of 2-ply, I still got the paper stuck in my ears. Hello, welcome to Happy Dragon. You'll find seat. What do you want to drink? I'll just have the water, please, with lemon. I'll have water as well. Oh, but could you squeeze the lemon there in there for me? I hate getting the juice on my hands. I smell like pine saw the rest of the day. I don't want people to think I do menial labor. I'll be back. So tomorrow you start your first day at my firm, Murray. Are you excited? Oh, yeah. I trust the firm is very reputable. Oh, yes. It's very reputable. Here's your water. Oh, I asked you to squeeze my lemon. I don't squeeze your lemon. Now, what do you want to eat? But, Murray, it's okay. Just drink the water. Oh, God, this is so tedious. Sir, what do you want to eat? I'll have the... Does the happy platter come with shellfish? I can't have the shellfish. It come with shrimp. Oh, I don't think I'm going to order that then. Oh, what about the Hunan Delight? Mary, just read the menu and let me order. I'll have the beef lo mein and an egg roll. Beef lo mein, egg roll. You decide, sir. I'm not sure about the egg roll. I think it has pork in it. Mary, it's okay. It's just an egg roll. Is the sesame chicken kosher? No kosher! This Chinese food! No kosher? Oh, God, that's anti-Semitic. Mary, don't start. I know anti-Semitic! You anti-Semitic! That's not possible. See, I'm Jewish, and you're just a Mary, I advise you to say no more. You are damn Jews! You come in here on holidays and eat up all the fried lice! I think you mean fried. I know what I said! You Jews piss me off! Why you come to the Happy Dragon on holiday anyway? Well, the Goyim celebrate the holidays. Yeah, we Jews have a tradition of eating Chinese during the Goyim celebrations. That make no sense! Why you not a kosher deli? They're closed. Yeah, and besides, us Jews are more connected to you Chinese, more than you think. What are you talking about? Murray, I strongly advise you not to. Well, we're the ones that are running your central banks over in China. Oh, God, Murray. Wait, what I meant to say is, Eugewalt. Oh, is that so, Jew? Oh, Chang! I done it now, Barry. You sure did, Murray. You fucked up big time. You want to come with us? Oy vey! Free sample! Free sample! It's kosher!
That's fucking classic right there. Classic, Sean. Classic.
I laughed my ass off over that. Like, I was listening to it, I said, oh, yeah. And then I said to Josh, I said, can I play that over here? And he goes, yeah, yeah, go right ahead. I call it the two Jews.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we're almost at the end of the show. We're almost at the end of the show. We've got literally 7 minutes left thereabouts. Set Free, any last thoughts before we head on out?
No, I think you guys covered it all. It's just, I wouldn't get caught in this trap if it was me.
Yeah.
Anybody I cared about, I wouldn't. You know, they got the facial recognition going on in football games and all this, and have had, and, you know, this is a big game to these characters.
Yeah, not wrong. What about you, Mike? Any last thoughts before we head on out? Because we've literally only got like 8 minutes, not even.
Sean, I'm going to end this show from my side with the anti-Semitic Elvis Presley. You ready?
Yeah.
Calling a trap. Yeah. I can't look back because I hate them fucking Jews, baby, caught in a trap. It's a Hasbro rat trap because, you know, I hate them Jews, baby.
Yeah, my favorite is always this one. It's something I came up with off the flick of the hat. When, you know, there was a place called Detroit and now it's a disgrace. What happens is when I was a boy, as a boy, you have so many expectations to do what you're gonna do. Like, some boys say, I wanna be a fireman because they love the flashing red light and they love the big red truck. Some boys, like myself, are like, I'm reading about Detroit and I'm seeing pictures of them going, oh, this is fantastic. I wanna go to there. I walk up to my mother at the time and I go, Mum, there's a place called Detroit. Look at this. Look at the architecture and everything like that. I'm a 9-year-old boy. And she goes, it's very beautiful, yeah. And I'm thinking, I'm going to Detroit one day. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy X enlightens me to what Detroit was, and which was one of the most beautiful cities, not just in America, but in the world. And I'm like, oh, yes. I've got to go and see this when I get older, you know. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy X enlightens me to what Detroit became. And I was like, my heart sunk because it was a lifelong goal I wanted to do. And then when he enlightened me to that, and, you know, I went across to Detroit in 2010 and I saw what it had become, I thought, oh my God, this can't be real. Like, seriously, that's why I sung that song where there is a place with, you know, called Detroit. Yeah, now it's a disgrace. Oh, it's just, it is heart fucking breaking when our world was once something, white Western civilization, I should say, was something beautiful, Seth and Mike. And now all of a sudden it's come down to, like, it's literally, it's lowered to such a disgrace. You wouldn't go near it yourself. It's almost like, would you go to Africa? Not a fucking chance. Would you go to South Africa? Not a fucking chance. Would you go to Detroit? Not a fucking chance. You know, like, that's how bad it's become. And I really wanted to see that. That is one of my heart-sinking moments. God.
Well, Western civilization has become the seventh circle of niggerdom.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Mike, you remember that douchebag on Oracle? What was he called? We were talking about him the other night, and he was trying to say to me that, these people that say Detroit is a bad place and everything like that. What was it called?
Jack Blood.
And he actually tried to tell the audience that Detroit, oh, there's nothing wrong with Detroit. I'm thinking, you fucking moron. Are you fucking blind? You know, are you fucking deaf?
That reminds me of your commercial, Sean. Jack Blood should do your Grey Poupon commercial. I've never had no problems with the Negroes. Pass the Grey Poupon. Hey, I'm calling from KFC's. KFC's, nigga.
You're right. pass me the Grey Poupon. That was one of my favorite breaks, by the way. A lot of people don't get it.
Sean, that is my favorite break. I've never had no problem with these Negroes. Pass the Grey Poupon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't been through Gary, Indiana, or East St. Louis.
And the funniest thing about that break is that, say, I've been on tours all around the world, and I've never had any problems with a Negro. Pass me the Grey Poupon. But the thing is, and that's the whole joke. The whole joke is that they've never been on a journey. They've been on a tour.
Well, they've never been to Atlanta, obviously.
Right. See, and
I have.
And on the same token, on the same token, remember, a journey that is self-inflicted, like, for instance, if I want to go on a journey, it's independent. I go on a journey myself. But if it's a tour, of course, the guided tour is not going to take you where the fucking types of people are, right?
That's it. Atlanta Hartsfield International, you're describing now.
There we go. Hey, lads, we're about to come to the end of the we're coming to the end of the show, literally in less than a minute. Hey, Set Free, thanks so much for calling in. I've already paid for the phone lines. You've already paid more than enough for the phone lines and everything like that. So thank you for your generous donation, and thank you for calling in by all means. Of course, Mike, you and I will talk behind the scenes, brother. And we'll get together again very soon. Well, don't say goodbye or anything. The fuck?
Well, goodbye. Thank you so much for having on.
FM here in the Alpines of Australia, and 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
Yeah, this is Ernest P. Everson, and I'm a Christian down here in South Alabama, in the United States of America, the old Confederate states, and I just got to say,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to drop a bit of music on. For some reason, part of my code just crashed out. So just bear with me. Where did that go? Yeah, I just had part of my code crash up. One of my programs that I've coded crashed out. That's not nice. That wasn't very nice at all.